Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Tuesday, August 6th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, officials assess the damage in South Georgia following heavy rain dropped by Tropical Storm Debbie. John Ossoff's criminal justice reform bill has been signed into law and will report on a grassroots effort to help hospitals return to rural Georgia. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The center of Tropical Storm Debbie reached the Georgia coast late this morning. Authorities in South Georgia are reporting one death associated with the storm. In Moultrie, heavy winds and rain toppled a large tree onto a porch at a home, killing a 19-year-old man. Steady, soaking rain continues in many inland counties, with numerous road closures reported. In Bullock County, local officials say a dam was breached, and they encouraged residents near or downstream of Simmons Pond to seek shelter and avoid State Road 46 in the area. Governor Brian Kemp is urging people to remain vigilant and stay off roads.
Do not let this storm lull you to sleep, as a lot of affected areas right now are not experiencing rain and high winds, but both models are showing that rain will come back.
Kemp said that, in the best case, the storm area will get another 4 or 5 inches of rain. Savannah appears to have escaped major flooding issues so far. Roads that flooded there last night are mostly clear today. For Georgia agriculture, it could take several weeks for a full assessment of the storm's damage. Deborah Tannenbaum of the USDA Farm Service Agency advises farmers to document damage as soon as possible.
The flooding is what's going to be the massive issue. It's a disaster. Any way you put it. And we're not going to see the full impact until the flooding reaches its apex.
Many South Georgia farmers and residents are still recovering from last year's Hurricane Idalia. Keep up with GPB storm coverage at gpb.org/storms. Georgia U.S. Senator John Ossoff joined civil rights leaders today to announce his criminal justice reform bill has been signed into law. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more.
The Federal Prison Oversight Act will require the Department of Justice to complete regular unannounced inspections of all 122 federal prisons and publish the results within 60 days. The bill passed with bipartisan support, with backing from the Correction Officers Union. Former UN Ambassador Andrew Young says prison reform isn't about guilt, it's about responsibility.
Meeting with people in jails all over the country, in fact, all over the world, and realizing that they are a valuable part of our society. And we should help them reform and be involved in everything that's worthy about this democracy of ours.
The bill will also create a new office within the DOJ to investigate abuse within prisons and a confidential hotline for reporting issues. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Georgia's Public Service Commission heard the final oral arguments today for and against allowing eminent domain to be used to build a new 4-mile rail spur through a majority black community that opposes it. GPB's Grant Blankenship explains.
The Sandersville Railroad seeks to build a 4.5-mile rail spur connecting a Sparta granite quarry to long-distance rail lines running as far as New England. The issue before the PSC is whether the rail spur would be, quote, a public good, as required by Georgia law, before Sandersville Railroad President Ben Tarbatton could take what he needs from landowners through eminent domain.
It's a good project for the people that it's going to employ, county that's going to benefit from the tax dollars.
That's one idea of public. For another, Southern Poverty Law Center attorney Jamie Rush points to her clients.
Yes, the public is here. Our clients have come from Sparta today to show that they're committed to maintaining the sanctity of their property.
PSC is expected to vote on the Sparta rail issue in coming weeks. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Atlanta.
In just over a decade, 18 hospitals have closed in Georgia. And 3/4 of them served rural communities. And those that have managed to stay afloat have looked for lifelines, sometimes through consolidation with big city hospitals. Now a couple of rural hospitals in Middle Georgia are trying a grassroots approach emphasizing local ownership, and they say it's working. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Walking down the halls of Washington County Regional Hospital in Sandersville, Pam Stewart says this place has always felt like home.
My mother was food service manager and dietitian here. I'd be in the kitchen with my mom, helping her get the food ready, taking, make sure it got up to the patients. I grew up here.
Working as a candy striper and eventually a nurse, Stewart got to know the hospital well. She became CEO late last year.
Let's go to the ER. Let's go this way. Hey, how are you?
Washington County Regional is small, but it's the only hospital within an hour of Macon or Augusta. Stuart admits the hospital, built in the 60s, needs some updating.
Old bedside. I mean, nothing matches. Look at the chair over there that somebody has to sit in.
She says people noticed.
Years ago, when you talked about Washington County Regional Medical Center in the community, you often heard it's a Band-Aid station. I wouldn't take my dog there.
But they didn't have the cash to change many things. So a few years back, the hospital signed an agreement to be managed by Augusta University Medical Center in hopes of getting out of crisis mode. Jim Kroom of the local hospital authority says ultimately
they didn't really know how to run a rural hospital.
And contracting with the doctors from Augusta was too expensive.
We ended up with interns in the emergency room, but we had to pay them a pretty high amount of money per hour.
Plus, Kroom says as patients were transferred out for care to the bigger, more modern Augusta Hospital, profits followed the patients, and local trust for the local brand took a hit. By the time Pam Stort came back to Washington County, the hospital had been through layoffs and a pandemic and was considering a new management company.
When you talk about management company and you're bringing in another one, and I'm thinking, please don't.
They did. This time with Kerry Trapnell and his company, Aletheia Health Partners.
They kept telling us this is the first time we've ever heard a plan.
Trapnell started managing Washington County Regional in 2022. By cutting costly agency nurses, full-time nurses got a pay raise. Trapnell helped apply for over $2 million in grants, which staff say they didn't even know were available. He's also been working to correct misconceptions about the level of care available at the hospital, which is usually more than most people think. 80 miles away at Monroe County Hospital in Forsyth, which for years has also faced closure, Aletheia is just starting the same process.
I think this is the first time in our careers, for the most part, that we can breathe a little bit easier.
Megan Randall is a longtime employee at Monroe, which recently cut ties with the much larger Atrium Health Navicent out of Macon.
Having the ability to make decisions more at the local level in regards to our current needs is the biggest improvement, I guess I should say.
Already, staff at both hospitals say Aletheia's investments made under their local advice is leading to more admissions and financial stability. Out in the parking lot, Sandersville resident Derek Dunn says he knows people who bypass Washington County Regional for what they see as bigger hospitals with better care.
For a person to take a chance and go 20 miles away versus 10, that says a lot.
Hearing about the new management, Dunn seems hopeful.
You know, I pray that they be able to reach out to the community and get them to trust them again.
If they succeed in getting that trust, people like Dunn might keep healthcare closer to home for longer. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis in Sandersville.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta has approved a new blight tax on property owners who fail to maintain their premises. The city's council yesterday passed legislation aimed at holding negligent property owners accountable by addressing health and safety concerns. The measure allows municipal judges to significantly increase fines for deteriorating properties. Some members of Atlanta's historic preservation community say while they support the measure, they're also concerned the new tax might lead to the loss of more historic structures. Michael Bloomberg's organization Bloomberg Philanthropies says it will give $600 million to the endowments of four historically black medical schools. The gifts announced today are among the largest private donations to any historically black college or university. Atlanta's Morehouse School of Medicine is getting $175 million. The massive gift is expected to relieve the medical school's rising costs and associated student debt. The Georgia Department of Transportation has launched a safe driving app to help prevent crashes and improve road safety. The Reach Home Safely app includes a driving score, feedback on driving behaviors, and contest rankings. The app allows drivers to participate in a contest for the title of safest driver. The Georgia DOT has teamed up with the Braves to provide contest prizes. There will be weekly, monthly, and grand prize winners, and prizes include Braves merchandise, access, experiences, and more. The Braves kick off a three-game series tonight at Truist Park against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Braves are currently in what is essentially a three-way tie for the National League wild card, while the Brewers have the lead in the National League Central. The Braves took the away series against the Brewers last month, 2-1. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, go to gpb.org/news. And if you want to learn more in particular about the storm, go to gpb.org/storms. Subscribing to this podcast is a pretty good idea. It helps you stay on top of the news. So if you subscribe now, we'll pop up in your podcast feed automatically tomorrow afternoon. And if you've got feedback for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.